Psalm 1. And what the Lord has told me to share with you tonight is very simple, but yet, while we may have heard some of these things, we may still have a tendency to miss it when it comes to our daily lives. Now, let me tell you kind of what's happening as we're talking about flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, and as the Spirit of God encourages you to step out. Okay, now what's going to happen is that from week to week, as the Spirit of God gives direction in the things that He wants to say, that the word may not be specifically, this is what you do to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. We've had 13, 14 weeks of talking about different aspects of this. And really what it comes down to is you hearing the voice of God and you obeying what He tells you to do and be willing to step out in faith. And we've seen that this happen. Okay. And so now expect Wednesdays just to come and to allow the Spirit of the Lord to use you. And as you know, we'll go back over some things as the Spirit of God tells me to, but there's going to be some fine tuning that He wants to do in your life that's going to help you step into these things. And so to begin with, they may not be obvious, but as you begin to obey and do the things that you are hearing, you're going to find yourself in a place that you are used more often. In Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now hold your finger there and go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And we're going to come right back. I just want to show you a couple of things. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So here he says the same thing. You shall meditate therein day and night. Go back to Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So very similar scripture. And then it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, these are two scriptures that I've heard all my life, that I've studied all my life. And so I want to say some things that I believe is necessary for us to understand when it comes to discerning the Word of God. The Bible talks about rightly dividing the Word of truth in the New Testament. It is important that as you start studying the scripture and that as you read what the Bible says, that you discern it properly and that you apply it properly in your life. Now I'm going to use this scripture here as an example where it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, Psalm 1 and Joshua 1 are found in what section of the Bible? Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Where do we live? New Covenant. So I'm going to use these two scriptures as an opportunity to teach you some things about meditating, which this is where the Lord wants us to go, but also about how to properly apply Old Testament truths to your New Testament reality. Because the way that they applied this back then is different because they were not born again. And sometimes we can go to a scripture in the Old Testament and read a lot of different things and just assume that because that's what it says, that's meant for you and me exactly the way that it says today. That's why we have to rightly divide the word of truth. For instance, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, normally what us charismatics and faith people do is we just insert a different word there and we'll say that his delight is in the word of God. That's the way that we read that. Let's go back, Sophia, right there to Psalm 1:2, please. Coming. We're okay. But to read it the way that it's written, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, is my delight going to be in the law of the Lord? The law is Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all of those things. I'm not going to be delighting in all the commandments of the Lord. So this means something different for me. I have three different directions I need to go, so let me just pick one and let's just go. God said to through Jeremiah, he said, "The day is coming that I will write my laws on your heart. I will write my words in your mind. They're going to already be put there. Everything that you need will happen." And he was talking about the new birth. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth. He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said of you or said to you. Now, what did meditation do in the Old Testament for them? Listen, I know where I'm going, so just got to give me a little time to get there for a second. In the Old Testament, they were unrenewed men and women. Sin dominated their life. And so God had to talk to them and to get them to try to get this law and this word of his that was out here in. And a lot of times we take that same approach when it comes to the things of God, that we got to get what's out here in. And so these are the scriptures that we go to. I got to meditate on it day and night. I got to think about it day and night because I got to get it in. I got to get it in. I got to get it in instead of recognizing that I've already got it. But it was necessary for them under the old covenant because they had to try to overcome that sin nature that was in their life. David is the one that wrote this. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. David's the best person to write this because David understood something about meditation. Now, you don't take, in dividing the word of truth, you don't take this scripture and say, well, that was just old covenant, so it's not for me today. No, you ask the Holy Spirit, is there a truth? Is there something that I can get out of it? You'll find that Paul told Timothy later on as he's sharing some things to him, he said, now meditate on the things that I have just told you. So there is meditation. There is something to meditation for a New Testament believer, for a child of God. David, shepherd boy, sitting out there on the hillside, just watching the sheep. Didn't have a whole lot to do. He didn't have a cell phone. He couldn't play Candy Crush. He couldn't check his Facebook status. He couldn't text all of his friends. So David learned something while he was out there about meditating in the things of God and about seeing himself and about who God was. Now, this is the power of meditation. Lord, how do I say this? When David showed up to give his brothers food and all of that kind of stuff when they were there at the battle where Goliath was, when David showed up, he wasn't going because God had told him that morning, I want you to go slay a giant. He was just going in obedience to what his dad told him to do, to go take some stuff to your brothers. Because nobody looked at him as if he could do anything. He wasn't good enough to go into the army. He just didn't look the part. And so he showed up, and then Goliath comes up and starts cursing the Israelites by their God and challenging them, if you can defeat me, we'll serve you. And then the Israelites were afraid of him, and they just started saying, the king said, whoever is going to defeat him gets riches and gets the woman, gets his daughter. And David said, whoa, wait a minute, what'd you say? David didn't even go and pray. He said, Lord, is this your will for me? His move was based on the fact that he heard something that would happen. But I want you to see what happened as a result of his meditation. God said that David was a man after his own heart. David said, let my meditation be acceptable unto you, O Lord. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so he learned some things about putting the word in, putting the word in, putting the word in. He didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him to just start revealing things to him. But yet he took what he knew and what he heard and would allow himself to meditate on that and to meditate on that. And he got a revelation of covenant. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. This is the story. Verse 25, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, he has come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes, basically, in Israel. And David said to the men that stood by, what shall be done? So I want you to notice this wasn't God saying, David, I want you to do it. And so then David said this, verse 26, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David didn't stand up and was just quoting something that he heard in church one day. David wasn't just speaking faith words that he thought's the thing that he's supposed to say. David, out of the abundance of his heart, out of the abundance of what he had been meditating in, that's what came out. He was shocked that the armies of Israel, the armies of God, was cowering in the sight of a man that did not have a covenant with God. That's what uncircumcised means. He was not in covenant with the God of the universe. So for David, when he starts saying this, so what's going to be done to the man that kills this Philistine? For who is he? His meditating in the things of God, his time alone with God, caused him to go beyond looking at the outward appearance of a man that was 9 feet tall. And he saw beyond the outward appearance and saw the spiritual, that this man didn't have a covenant and didn't have a chance. And so in verse 32, David said to Saul, the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Have you ever been around somebody that, as they start sharing with you their vision, their dream, they're so convinced of what it is that they're talking to you about that you get excited about it and you're ready to help them? This is what was happening right here. David was so convincing. The faith that came out of him energized those around him to where they said, go. Now look at this. So as he goes, the Philistine, when he saw David, verse 43, said, am I a dog that you're coming to me with just a staff? And he cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now that could be intimidating. When a big 9 foot tall guy comes to you and says, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to rip you apart and feed you to the dogs and feed you to the beasts. We must move beyond the natural. We must move beyond allowing others to intimidate us, allowing circumstances to intimidate us, just because they have prestige, just because they have power, just because they have money, means nothing if they are not in covenant with God Almighty. You want to experience the greatness of what God can do in you and through you? Then start looking beyond the natural when you're dealing with people. People are afraid to talk to their bosses about the things of God because they've never come to the place of believing in their covenant the way that David did with his God. Look at what David said. David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord. That's the key. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. Go to the next verse, right there, verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And I will smite you, I will take your head from you, I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day. His vision wasn't for one giant, his vision was for the whole army. This day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David was so full of the things of God, had meditated so much on what his God could do, that all he wanted to do was glorify God. And when reproach tried to come on the name of God, he said, I'm going to be the one to remove reproach so that God's name, and he'll get glory, God's name will be magnified in the earth. Amen. Why is it that we do what we do? Why do we go out and share the gospel with people? Is it so that God can just use us? And so that people will think that we're something? Or is it really to glorify and to magnify Jesus? When Peter and John healed the lame man, everybody was looking on them. They said, don't look on us as if by our own holiness we made this man to walk. It's his name. Through faith in his name that has given this man this perfect soundness. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. He wasn't trying to dodge, duck, and weave. Trying to miss the spear as it's going right past him, like I've seen on some of these movies about David. Wasn't, you know, where he got nicked in the leg a little bit, you know, and barely escaped with his life and just did a lucky swing. No. He knew what he was going to do. Now, how does this apply to us? David was in a place that he knew his God. How did he get there? Why did he not bat an eye? Why did he not question that he could do those things? Because he had spent time meditating, praising God, worshiping God. His mind was filled with the things of God. Visions of victory, visions of covenant. His mind was filled with all of these things. Our society has become the opposite of the way David lived his life. We are so busy. We got so much going on, and thanks to modern technology, we are in touch with everybody that we know immediately. If I were to stop right now and say, let's just meditate for the next 5 to 10 minutes, some of you would think, I can't handle this. This is awkward silence. Some of you would be like, after a minute, okay, I'm done. Now let me see what's going on my cell phone. We've become addicted to technology, but we don't recognize that it's entered in and has created such a place in our life that those things are more important, that we won't take time to meditate and to think on the things of God. As an example, texting is wonderful. But when I text somebody, if I don't get a reply immediately, I get mad at that person. How dare they not stop what they're doing and just answer me? We become instant gratification minded. Or better yet, if the phone is with you or sitting in the seat beside you while you're driving down the road and a text comes through, there is this overwhelming desire to take both hands off the wheel, go pick up your phone. You have to reply right then and right there. It can't wait. we have a problem. How does meditation work for a New Testament believer? Why is it important to us? Turn with me to John chapter 5. I'm going to make a statement that I've never thought about before. And so I want to make sure you hear it the right way and be cautious in the way that you apply it, because I don't mean this to be spooky, overtly spiritual or anything like this, or flaky. But meditation for a New Testament believer, if you are taking the time to think about the things of God, to see yourself doing the things of God, and as I am about to show you, it can be the gateway for you experiencing visions in your life. Okay? This is coming from a man who hasn't had hardly any visions in his life. Maybe one or two. As a matter of fact, when people asked me about them 6 months ago, I would just say, well, I'm just not that guy. I'm not the guy who gets visions. I'm not the guy who has dreams. And I just have to go to the Word and just do everything by the Word. But the last 6 months, that has all changed. As I start seeing things, as I start knowing things, as we've been stepping into this place of the Spirit, the Lord's taking me to places that I've never been before. But He's doing it line upon line, precept upon precept, so that we don't get carried away and follow after the signs, but that the signs follow us and that we're in the right place. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Go back to verse 19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatsoever or what things soever He does, talking about the Father, then these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now, this is a very interesting scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself except what He sees the Father do. That means that Jesus did not just get up one day, say, I'm going to this city, and whoever's sick that comes there, I'm just going to heal them because that's what I feel like doing. He did nothing unless He saw the Father do it. Somewhere in Jesus' prayer time, you remember, sometimes He would go and He would pray all night long. Some of us can't get past 15 minutes. He would spend time with the Father. When do you think He saw the Father do stuff? During His time of prayer. During His time of meditation. During His time of being alone. He would take Himself and set Himself apart. And during those times, God would reveal things to Him, show Him things. And so Jesus saw the Father doing the works. And so he had a pattern so that all that he had to do was know that it's the Father that is doing the works. He didn't look at himself, but he saw himself allowing the Father to work through him. And as a result, things happened. Sunday, after we had eaten so well, I had a birthday party that I had to go to at 5 o'clock. Jennifer said, we have just enough time to get home and to take a nap. Sunday naps are wonderful. But what I have found for me, there was a time in my life when I was a teenager that there were times that when I would get still, and that when I would get quiet and when I would let my mind get quiet as I was going to sleep, that I would start hearing music. I'd start hearing angelic songs, beautiful songs. And so I would try to stay in that place of hearing them praise God. And then so that I could remember it, so that I could write it down when I woke up. But it was always so beautiful that I ended up drifting off to sleep, and I'd get up the next morning like, oh man, what was that song? But I always found that I had to be in that place of perfect stillness. I couldn't let my mind just wander about all these things, you know, and I have a pretty active imagination and always thinking about different things. So Sunday, the Lord's been having me talk about righteousness, right? This is where I wanted you to see where meditation can lead to vision. We lay down, not medication, meditation. Now, some medication can lead to visions. That's not the kind of visions that you want. Okay? So, Lord have mercy. Meditation. As I lay down and as I started to get still, generally what happens for me after every Sunday morning, I'm still thinking about the service. I'm still thinking about what the Spirit of God did. I'm still thinking about the revelation that came forth. That's just all day long. It's, you know, sometimes I'm not real good just to communicate with. Don't talk to me about everyday stuff, because I'm still over in that place. I'm just thinking about that. And I find myself thinking about those things more and more and meditating on them all week long now. So as I lay down, I'm still thinking about righteousness, and I'm thinking about what's going on in this church. And I just started thinking about a service and all of us here. And I begin to see, in my meditation, I begin to see this mist come into the church. And it was the glory of God just hovering over the place as we're worshiping. And then my meditation changed to vision. And the next thing that happened is that the mist divided, kind of like the Red Sea. And I found myself elevated above the floor, walking on a pathway that was made of sapphire stones. And the pathway was rimmed in gold. And then it shifted, and I was no longer in this church, but the path of sapphire wound its way up into a mountain. And then I started hearing a song, and the words to the song, as these angels were singing, was walk in righteousness, walk in righteousness. And then my dog barked, and I came out of it. Wow. And I wanted to kill a dog. But that's not righteousness. This was all very brief. This was a brief moment of time. And then it got me. Then all of a sudden, scripture started coming to me. When the children of Israel saw God as he touched down on Mount Sinai, they saw just his feet, and underneath it, it said it was a pavement of sapphire stone. And I'm like, oh, hallelujah. And then I started hearing that he makes me to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this just confirmed where God has us going in this area of righteousness and having it become a reality in our lives, and that our steps are ordered and directed by him. But as I got to thinking about that, because I'm not the one, again, I haven't been the one to have visions and all of those kinds of things. As I began to think about it, the Lord started showing me some things that is necessary for us as believers. This is one of the reasons why he instituted from the very beginning a day of rest, a time of rest. See, we've gotten so backwards now that we'll work on any day of the week. We don't really set aside sometimes times for ourselves just to rest and to meditate in the things of God. Turn with me quickly over to Philippians chapter 4 as I bring this teaching to a close, and really get to the crux of what God is wanting to say tonight, and that is this. You must allow the Holy Spirit. The word has been given you, but you must allow him to start thinking through you and to start revealing things to you. And that's only going to happen during times of meditation. As you start thinking about the things of God, Jesus saw the Father doing the works. What do you see when it comes to healing the sick? What do you see when it comes to ministering to others? What do you see when it comes to your finances? What do you see when it comes to your situations in life? Are you just so concerned and so moved by the giant of the situation that you never look past the external and see the reality of what's happening in the spirit, that it doesn't matter that your boss, that your bank, that none of those have a covenant with Almighty God, but you are the son of the Most High God. You are a daughter of the Most High God, and that's more important and that's more real. And when you allow him to get glory and you see yourself, how do you see yourself? You start meditating in those things. You see yourself operating in the things of God. You see yourself going out, and when you see somebody sick, that as you go up to them, you see Jesus in you, not you, Jesus in you healing the sick. Watch it happen. David was in a position to accomplish one of the greatest defeats in the history of mankind because of his time of meditation. But what if he had been so busy taking care of everything, texting, Facebooking, all of those things, emailing, all of those things, that he didn't just have time? Lord, tomorrow I'll have time. Lord, tomorrow. And you keep putting God off, and you keep putting the word off, and you keep putting the Holy Spirit off because you don't have time today. God says, redeem the time. You can't get it back. Be a steward over the time that you've been given. And as you sow into the things of the Spirit, you're going to find that the time that you've been given will multiply, and you'll get everything else that needs to be done, done. But change your priorities. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We're not playing church. And I'm saying things the way that the Holy Spirit is telling me to say it. This is very real what he is doing for these end times. Time has far gone, far spent to be a fence sitter and keep one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God said in Isaiah, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. You're not meditating like David and like Joshua says to try to get things from the outside in. You're meditating to allow that which is already on the inside of you to come from the inside out. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. See the Father doing the works. See the Father winning the battles. See the Father doing the things that you have felt unable to accomplish. Allow your meditation to take you to places that you've never thought possible. Glory to God. Let's just be still before him for a moment. We're word people. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it is important to continue to feed yourself the word of God. Listen to good teaching. Listen to the word. Meditate in it day and night. We know that that's a principle. I'm not getting away from the things that we've been taught and the things that we know. But in addition to that, don't allow that to be your only time. You need to have that time of prayer. You need to have that time that you're quiet before God and just allow him to speak to you. Allow him to reveal things to you. You may say, well, I never hear anything. I never see anything. Then just start imagining some things happening in your life. See the Holy Spirit working through you and doing the works. Don't just wait for God to come in and give you a picture. Start creating pictures in your own mind. And watch where your meditation takes you. Your meditation is going to take you into that realm of visions and dreams. And you're going to start seeing yourself. And hallelujah. Glory to God. I just got to give this some time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. My natural mind at this moment wants to say, okay, now's the time just to let other people come up and share. But my spirit's saying, hold off. Hold on for just a moment. And so, for me, because we've kind of had this routine for the last 8 or 9 weeks that, okay, there's some teaching, and then people share that's the way that we're always going to do it. And I don't want to get into tradition. I want to make sure that we're doing exactly what God says to do at this moment. So, well, and so there's a little struggle going on with me at the moment because I'm wanting to do what we normally do. And the Lord says, hold off for just a moment. That time will come, but let's just pray in the Spirit. Glory to God. Sikroto singra mande shikrabate. Kibrokto sokra mande. Gebrokto shungra mande. Kekroto sokra. Just meditate for just a moment. We're not done here. Let the Holy Spirit do a work in you right now. Think about the distractions, the things that's caused you to not focus in the area of the things of God that you need to focus on. Yeah. That's it. The Lord says that some decisions need to be made tonight. As we're going from one level of glory to the next level, to the next level, that right now what the Holy Spirit is doing amongst you is revealing to you the things that have kept you from spending time with Him. And that you need to reset your priorities. Doesn't mean go quit your job. It just means change what you're doing before your job or after your job or whatever needs to happen. You need to have that place, that time. And when you do, don't take your cell phone with you. The measure with which you measure your devotion to God, your priorities and the things of God, to hearing His voice, is the measure in which He's going to be able to use you to reveal things to you and to take you to the place that He desires for you to go. But He can't take you there while you keep measuring other things as more important. So right now, ask the Lord to reveal to you how you can shift some priorities. What are the things that you need to do that you can set some time that you just start meditating? You just start seeing the things of God. You just start seeing Him working through you. You just allow Him to reveal things to you. Let's take a few minutes for that. Hallelujah. I'm just saying to the Lord myself, you know, Father, I recognize here's some areas that I have not put You first place, that I've allowed these things to creep in and become more important. They require my attention more than You do. And so they limit me. And so I make the decision to make those changes now in Jesus' name, to shift those priorities in the name of Jesus. The rest of it will just have to take care of itself. Now, what has the Lord revealed to you? Who has something to share? Thank You, Lord.
Pastor's been talking about things being revealed to you. Knock, knock. Pastor's been talking about things being revealed to you. God is a spirit. You don't want to think that you're going to get things revealed to you with your mind. You have to be in the spirit. And I'm going to read you a guaranteed way to get it. Because He can sit up here and teach you something, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm listening. It ain't going to work that way. I got 62 years that's going to tell you it ain't going to work that way. It says in the Word that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, when you worship somebody, I worshiped my daddy. I wanted to be like him. I just wasn't always saying, "Oh, I love you, Daddy. I praise you." I wanted to be like him. So that means I did what he did. That's worship to God, doing what he does. It's not necessarily praising or singing, which you mentally think that's what it is, but it's not. You worship him in spirit and in truth. And right before that, he says, "For the Father seeketh such to worship him that way." In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, Pastor was talking to you about things being revealed to you. That's going to be in the spirit too, because the only way God knows is in the spirit. That's where he is. That's where we are if we realize who we are. See, all down here in heaven, it's Christ. On the earth, it's Christ in us. But when it talks about being in heaven, it's us in him. See, we got him in us down here. But you know who he's got in him up there? See, you don't know it, but you are the Word made flesh. Everybody is. And God wants you to realize that. You are the Word made flesh. We are his sons. It says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." So you want to get some revelation? Pray in tongues. That's the only way you're going to get it. I haven't found another way in here yet. Because when you just read these words, you're reading the word with your mind. When you pray in tongues, you're in the spirit. And those mysteries have come from what you read in your mind, and it'll explode in you. And you'll start realizing who he's made you to be. And verse 12 says, "Now he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself." And that's what we desire. And then you'll see those visions. You'll walk up on them and see them. Oh, I got a bunch.
That's good. You know what I found myself doing over as we continue to go deeper and deeper into the things of God is just praying in the Spirit all day long. Any chance I get. When I'm in the shower, that's the best time for me to get revelation. For some reason, for me, the shower shuts out everything else in the world. Just got that sound just going. I'm just praying in the Spirit. Man, I'm getting revelation left and right. I come out wrinkled, but, you know. Because, you know, you want to stay in that place, but all day long. You can stay there. You know, the Bible says, keep your mind stayed on him. Pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing? Man, you're just there. It's like I can be doing my work all day long, but my mind is staying on the things of God. It's when we descend down into all of this stuff and allow these things just to, you know, take control that we start feeling like we're losing control. Well, you know what? It's not you that's supposed to be in control anyway. It's Jesus who lives through you, and he's the one that's in control of everything. Get back to that place. Walk in paths of righteousness. Somebody else have something to share? Miss Thelma, do you have a word for us tonight? You do have a word for us, so come here. I know what the Spirit of God has just told me. Hallelujah. And while you're listening, there's been great wisdom and revelation deposited into you. Thank you, Lord.
You have it. You have it. You get it here. Now let it out. Let it go. Don't keep it for yourself. Edify God. Edify your fellow man. Glorify God. Don't just keep it. It's not for us to keep. It's for us to glorify God and build up the body of Christ in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hold on for just a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Se brukte sikra mande sikroto sobra kete sikra mande. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
That's it.
Manifest himself.
That's it.
He's going to manifest himself.
That's
and
it.
Why?
John 14. That's it. I got to read this in the Amplified. Verse 21, the person who has my commands keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Do you get what Jesus is saying? Let's put that up on the screen. Sophia, can you put up John chapter 14, verse 21 on the screen for me, please? And we're gonna close with this, because you've got to take this and you've got to be willing to believe this. Miss Thelma, thank you for being obedient. Thank you for not being too upset that when you didn't think that you had something, because I knew that is exactly, listen, this right here He that hath my commandments keeps them. He it is that loves me. Now, what's the commandments? The commandments is to believe on his son. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's it. It's just love. Believe on his son and then love. Okay? It's not hard. He even says that in 1 John chapter 5. He says his commandments are not difficult. We try to make things too difficult. He that hath my commands and keeps them. Or how about this? He that hears my voice and does what I tell him to do. Since that's where we've been going. He that just does what I tell him to do. You're listening to the Holy Ghost. Whatever he says to do, you just do it. Look at this. He says, that's the person that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will make myself clearly seen by him. Now we think that that's, I don't know what we think sometimes, but we just think that that's, you know, that's way out there, way outside the realm of possibilities for me to see Jesus. So why would he tell us that there's the possibility of him revealing himself, manifesting himself to us, if that's not for us? Get out of small thinking. Dare to believe what he said. And he said it, I believe it, I expect it. Some of that's going to come out of your praying in the Spirit, out of your time of meditation, as he takes you into places where you're seeing visions and seeing him, and you will be clearly seeing Jesus Christ. Do you dare to believe that tonight? My goodness. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that you take this word, take us to places in the Spirit that we've never been before. As we behold the face of Jesus, we're going to be changed into that same image from glory to glory, looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into the things of the Spirit, being changed by the Spirit, Father. As we set aside that time of just meditating, praying in the Spirit, spending time seeing you, Father, in the same way that you revealed yourself and showed yourself to Jesus and showed him the things that you do, so as a son of God, we can expect to see the same things. So, Father, we make the same commitment in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Glory to God. I could keep going and going and going and going, but we got to take the truths that we've learned tonight, and we got to take it. Act on it. Revelation that is not acted upon is revelation that is lost. Does anybody need prayer tonight for healing? Anybody sick? Anybody have any pain? Let's let the Holy Spirit do his work. There's a tendency sometimes to rush things when we go a little bit long. But does anybody need prayer for something? Okay. So what's what happens?
The wrists just kind of go in and out on me with pain from time to time. I'm still not
feeling, yeah.
They're kind of hurting a little earlier.
They're kind of okay right now. Let's just keep it that way. Yeah, right there. In the name of Jesus. Man. In the name of Jesus. Every ligament, every tendon, every nerve ending is made whole, repaired, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Does it still hurt when I press there? It was a very strong anointing as I was praying for you.
Feel it. It's better. A little bit right there, but Jesus, you're good.
Pain be gone in Jesus' name. That's it. I just felt it shift right in there. Here, move it around. So it shifted from there to here.
Well, it's both of them.
Well, they don't tend to be that way anymore.
Amen. They have been.
Yeah, they won't be anymore. The spots tend to be healed from now on.
Thank you, Jesus.
They tend to not have pain any longer.
Thank you, Lord.
Because that's what they were created for in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Jesus. I just believe it's done in the name of Jesus. Come on. Yeah.
Healings. Get encouraged better when you hear a good testimony. A few weeks ago, I had them pray for me because I was having a suspicious symptom that was a little bit scary because I'd had a friend before with that symptom whose husband found it because he was a doctor and he noticed a very subtle symptom and it was cancer with her. So they were praying with me and I had an appointment with the doctor and they did a biopsy a week and a half ago Thursday. And got the results back. No cancer. It is benign. There is something there. So I'd appreciate if y'all agree for me to not have to have surgery at all, for it just to be gone, because that would be one less expense in my life. That would really be good. So,
well, we're going to pray for that right now then, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, whatever that they found that they saw and said is not cancer, Lord, in Jesus' name, take it now. Leave her body without the need for surgery in Jesus' name. So it's gone. And we expect it to be that way. And the doctors will be amazed in Jesus' name. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. I always encourage you to get as close as you can, because sometimes you don't know, maybe sitting all the way in the back, what's going on right up here, but you can kind of feel. Yeah, there is a very strong presence and anointing of God here. Are you okay? I think Melanie's just about to go. Hallelujah. Anybody else? The wrist is not hurting. Amen. Always expect signs and wonders. in the name of Jesus. Father, you're so good to us.